the middle of Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam gives you the history of the development of the Taryag Mitzvahs, that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Adam HaRishon to observe six mitzvahs. According to the tradition that the Gemara has, Adam HaRishon was only permitted to eat fruits and vegetables. He wasn't permitted to eat flesh. So he wasn't given the din of Eiv Menachat. It was irrelevant. It was forbidden for him to eat any meat. After the Mabul HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Noach permitted Noach to eat meat, ki erekes of nesat lechem is called, just like Adam HaRishon was allowed to eat fruits and vegetables, you can eat flesh, but you're not permitted to eat Eiv Menachat. So that's why we call it the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Only six of the Sheva Mitzvahs were given to Adam HaRishon, and then the seventh was given to Noach, so all the descendants of Noach now have some total of seven mitzvahs. Then the world was going on like this until the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Mila. Yitzchak was given the opportunity, he wasn't given the mitzvah, the tzibah, he was given the opportunity to be Machir's Maestris. Where does it say that? Because the Medrash says that when Yitzchak was in Eretz Plishtim, he was on his way to go, there was Vahi Rav Baretz, Malvad HaVarah Yishana Shachiyah B'mei Avraham. So Yitzchak was on his way to go to Mitzrayim, like Avraham Avinu did. And he stopped off in Gror. By Yisra Yitzchak Baretz, Ayim Tasham Me'er Sharim. 100 times as much grew, 100 times as much as he thought would grow. Why was he planning how much was going to grow? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, he made an Omid LeMaisvus. He was trying to figure out how much Maisa he would have to be Mapish. So the Medrash is assuming that Yitzchak Kifrish Maisvus, he wasn't Nitztav Ala Maisa, he was given the opportunity to be Mapish Maisvus. And Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Gidah Noshe. Pashta says that that's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah in Perek Gidah Noshe, whether the mitzvah of Gidah Noshe was given to Yaakov or was only given later at the time of Matan Torah. And it's only written in Parshas Vayishlach that we should know what the historical background of the mitzvah is. And according to the Pesach Halacha, it's a machlokes of Yudin HaChachamim in the Mishnah in Perek Gidah Noshe. According to the Pesach Halacha, we should have assumed that the mitzvah of Gidah Noshe was not given to Yaakov Avinu. It was given after Matan Torah. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis has a different interpretation in the Mishnah. He says everybody agrees the mitzvah of Gidah Noshe was given to Yaakov Avinu. That's what this Medrash says. The Rambam is quoting a Medrash that Avraham Avinu was given an additional mitzvah of Mila. Yitzchak was given the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Hafrashas Maisus. And Yaakov was given the mitzvah of Gidah Noshe. Machlokes HaTanaim in the Perek Gidah Noshe, the Mishnayis is the fact that we today still continue to observe the mitzvah of Gidah Noshe, is that because of the tzivoy that was given to Yaakov Avinu? Or should we assume, no, that we today observe it because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu and HaSinai? And that's the Psak Halacha, that's the Machlokes of Yudin HaChom. There we paskin, we today are only obligated to observe the mitzvah of Gidah Noshe because it was repeated at HaSinai. And then the Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnayis and Perek Gidah Noshe that the same is true regarding mitzvahs Milo. The fact that we today observe the mitzvah Milo, clearly mitzvah Milo was given to Avraham Avinu, it says so in the Parsha, but today we observe Milo not because of the fact that Avraham Avinu was in Tztava, but rather because it was repeated at Har Sinai. The Rambam makes a big point of this, that all of the other Nevi'im only have Nevu'ah. Moshe Rabbeinu, Nevu'ah means by definition Haruah Shor. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who sometimes had Nevuah HaRosh Shoah, and sometimes he had Dinim L'Doris. That's called Torah. That's the difference between Torah and Nevuah. So when Avraham Avinu was Nitztava Ala Milo, and Yankov was Nitztava Al Gidah Noshe, it was only B'Torah HaRosh Shoah. And only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeated the mitzvah to Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Navi who was given Dinim that applied throughout all the generations. That's called Torah. So that's why it's binding for the future generations as well. You read the Parsha today, you get the impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that the mitzvah of Milah is binding throughout all of future generations. That they should observe the mitzvah of Milah. That's what it sounds like. I don't know, but that's what the Rambam says, that we today observe Milah, we today observe Gidah Noshe, not because Milah was given to Avraham Avinu, because Gidah Noshe was given to Yaakov Avinu, but rather because they were repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu.
What would
he give them like that? That's a good question. Who did he give it to? Was there a Kohen? Was there a Levi? Was there a Kohen? I don't know. The Ravid is masig on this Rambam. The Rambam is innocent. The Rambam just quotes a Medrash. The Ravid is masig on the Rambam. He says, the Rabbi is masik on the Rambam. Why does he say that Yitzchak was the first one who was mafrish meiser? Avraham Avinu was already mafrish meiser because it says ba'yitalo meiser mikol, that Avraham Avinu gave meiser to Malkit Tzedek, who kohen lekel yon. He gave meiser to Malkit Tzedek, who was a kohen. So the Noisei Kelim on the side of the Rambam, I think there it's the Radvaz on the side of the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, points out that the Medrash assumes that that's Maisa Ksofim. Avraham Avinu gave Maisa Ksofim to Malkit Tzedek Melech Shalom. He was a Kohen. Because Malkit Tzedek is Shem Ben Noach, and he had a yeshiva, Yeshiva Shem V'Yever, and there's an Inyan to give Maisa Ksofim to support yeshivas. That's how it says in the Sifrei. And the Pasuk Aser Te'aser in Parshas Re'eh, so it says, why does it say twice Aser Te'aser? It's marbe normal maisris, and it's marbe also the kefal ocean is marbe should give maisik sofim to support loim de Torah. So he said that's a mitzvah of tzedakah. The Rambam over here is quoting the Medrash that Yitzchak kifish maisis real maisa, that's not maisik sofim to give to aniyim or to give to support the yeshiva shem v'yeva, real maisa. So who did he give to? I don't know. Malkit Tzedek was a kohen. The Gemara says Malkit Tzedek was a kohen, and the kahuna was supposed to continue to go to his descendants. It should have remained by Malkit Tzedek, but because he did an improper act, that's why he lost the kahuna. It was taken away, and it was given to the descendants of Avraham Avinu, to Aaron Abonim. What did he do? So the Gemara in the Dorm says, when after the war with the four kings and the five kings, so Malkit Tzedek blessed Avraham Avinu, Baruch Avraham Lekel Yon. And afterwards says, Baruch Kel Al Yonash Amigin Tzarecha Biyadecha. So the Gemara in the Dorm points out that he did an act of impropriety to give a bracha to Abbasu Adam before he's giving a bracha to the Rabbi Shalom. He should have first said, Baruch Kel Al Yon, and then say, Baruch Avram Lekel Al Yon. So because he did this impropriety, that's why he lost the kahuna, it wasn't transmitted to his children. And that's why it says, V'hu Kohen Lekel Al Yon, Hu Kohen Vein Bon of Kohanim. That's the connotation of that expression. Hu kohen, v'im bon of kohanim. Really, his children should have been kohanim. That's what they quote from Rav Lezer Telzer, that let's say when someone gets married and he's a kohen, or someone gets divorced and he's a kohen, whatever the story is. So you write ploni ben ploni ha kohen. So the question is, if you write ploni ben ploni ha kohen, maybe the son is not a kohen. Maybe the father is a kohen, the son is a cholo. So some have the practice that you write ploni ha kohen ben ploni ha kohen. Some have the practice, you write, Ploni HaKohen Ben Ploni. Obviously, it's a dead giveaway. If he's a Kohen, so obviously the father is a Kohen, and the son, even the son is a Kohen, it's not a Cholo. But our practice is we write, Ploni Ben Ploni HaKohen. And it means the son is a Kohen. What if the son Taki is a Cholo? So then what do you write? Ploni HaCholo. Ploni, I have to bop him over the head. Ploni HaCholo Ben Ploni HaKohen. So Rav Lezer tells her, I think writes in his Chuvas Rav Lezer. Shalos HaChulos HaBlaze, I think it's called. So he writes, you write Ploni Ben Ploni V'hu Kohen. Instead of writing Ploni Ben Ploni HaKohen, so he writes V'hu Kohen, because the Gemara says that's what the connotation of that phrase is. V'hu Kohen L'kel Yom, V'hu Kohen Ben Abon of Kohanim. So that implies that the son, whose name appeared first, is not a Kohen. I don't know, maybe gave to Shem Ben Noach. I don't know how long Shem lived. I don't know. That's a very good question. But that's what the Medrash, the Rambam is just quoting a Medrash, that Yitzchak Kifrish Maisis, real Maisis, not Maisik Sofim. Avraham Avinu gave Maisik Sofim. That's a different mitzvah, it's Dok. And Yitzchak Kifrish Maisis, real Maisis.
Does Peru or Hu also have the same that? Is that also repeated by Har Sinai that we really commanded? You
know, yeah. The Gemara says Peru or Hu was repeated at Har Sinai, Shuvah Lechem, Liyoh Lechem, is the repetition. And any mitzvah that was given Koyde Matan Torah, that was repeated at Matan Torah, Nemra Venishnas, the Gemara calls it in Sanhedrin, called mitzvah Shenemra Venishnas, it was given before Matan Torah repeated, so after Matan Torah, after it's repeated, it only applies to the Jewish people. Only applies to the Jewish people. The mitzvah of Peru Revu, Koyde Matan Torah applied to all of mankind. The non-Jews also were obligated to observe Peru Revu. And after Matan Torah, it only applies to the Jewish people. Obviously, the nature of the mitzvah was changed. Kode Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah was to see to it that mankind multiplies. Peruvu milasaretz v'chibshua. It was to see to it that there should be a lot of people on the face of the earth. After Matan Torah, apparently the Baruch Shalom decided he has enough people on the face of the earth, and he doesn't have to command it, people will naturally, enough people will get married, and enough people will be having children to preserve mankind. And the nature of the mitzvah al-pi pashtus changed. The proof we have to matan Torah now implies not stamp to populate the earth, but rather to transmit the tradition of Judaism to the next generation. So only Jews have the mitzvah, and we're only in fulfillment of the mitzvah if we have children from a Jewish mother who are going to be Jewish. If we have children from a non-Jewish woman, we're not yet to the mitzvah. The Gemara says, a gershin is gayer, v'hoya labanim biyosa nochri, is a machleg zabiyach and reish lokish, whether the gershin is gayer is in fulfillment of Piri Rivi with the children that he had before he was Nizgayer. So Reish Lakish says, Gershon is got cut in Shiroladam. So he's not Alpidin, he's not related. Genetically, they're his children. But emotionally, of course, they're his children. But Alpidin, they're not considered his children. So he's not Yetzipir Rivi. We don't accept Reish Lakish's opinion. We pass like Rabbi Yechanan. Usually we pass like Rabbi Yechanan. And we say he is in fulfillment of the mitzvah Piri Rivi. So the Rambam writes on that Gemara, Benizgayahu Banavima means the father converted and the children converted also. So there's a machlekes what the Rambam means. The Beishmol and Ebenezer Simon Allah quotes the machlekes. The Magen Mishnah learns Pshat in the Rambam that the only time you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah is if the children were Nizgayer. It's a Dovah Poshet. You're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah Piri Rivi if the children are not Jewish. The Beishmol quotes that others do not agree with the Magen Mishnah, the Marami Prag, and others think that the Rambam meant to say even if Nizgayer Banavima. If Loin is Gaira, he certainly Yetzir Piri Rivi with the non-Jewish children. But we usually assume not so. We usually assume like the Magen Mishnah, that after Matan Torah, Piri Rivi was a mitzvah Shenem Rav and Ishnas. According to Matan Torah, it applied to all of mankind. After Matan Torah, it only applies to the Jewish people because the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. The mitzvah only applies to the Jewish people because the nature of the mitzvah is to transmit the Jewish values or Judaism to the next generation. The mitzvah of Milah was given to Avraham Avinu in conjunction with the Matana of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael as a gift, and then he says in conjunction with that, in conjunction with the Matana of Eretz Yisrael, this is in Shvi, and today said gives merits migurecha. It's called Eretz Kanan lachuz al son vayisi lohem leilokim, and in connection with that, he gives the mitzvah bris milah. The Gemara says in Brachas and Perek Shlosh Shachlu that there is an obligation to recite birchas hamazon when a person eats lechem. Eretz hashalobi miskenus tachal balechem echalta v'sivata v'rachtu as Hashem elokecha. So the obligation is to recite Birchas HaMazon. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food, for the bread. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Horetz HaToyva for Eretz Yisrael. And then the word HaToyva has the connotation of Yerushalayim, as it says HaHor HaToyva HaZeh V'Halavonon. And the Gemara says, and the Gemara understands the two aspects to Yerushalayim. One aspect is that Yerushalayim was the Makom of the Beis HaMikdosh, and one aspect was Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says that they didn't have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael until the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, after they captured the land. In the Midbar, when the Mon came down, so Moshe Rabbeinu had to compose the first Baruch HaZanas HaKol. They had to recite Birchas HaMazon, only the first Baruch HaZanas HaKol. After Yeshua Ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, so he had to compose the Nusach of the second Baruch to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael. After David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as his capital, so then he composed the first half of the third bracha, thanking the Rabbanu Shalom for giving us. In Noidalacha, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael. And in the next bracha, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Then David HaMelech wasn't permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech built it. So after Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he composed the second half of the third bracha, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the other aspect of Yerushalayim, namely the Beis HaMikdosh. Today, there's no Beis HaMikdosh, and at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, Yerushalayim no longer had the status of the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So the Tanoim at the time of the Churban changed the Nusach HaBroche, and Malchus Beis David had long ceased to exist. At the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, that was the end of the Malchus Beis David. It wasn't a Malchus Beis David during the period of the second Beis HaMikdosh. The Chashmonaim were the kings. So they changed the Nusach of the third Baruch. Instead of thanking the Rabbanu Shalom for giving us the Malchus Beis David, That's also an aspect of the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the official capital of Eretz Yisrael for the official government of Eretz Yisrael. The official government is the Malchus Beis David, and the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Malachim quotes from the Yerushalmi that no government other than the Malchus Beis David is permitted to use Yerushalayim as the capital. So at the time of the Churban Bais Rishon, when everything was Chorei, so they changed the Nusach of the third Bracha. Rachim no, have Rachmanis on Malchus Beis David Mishichecha, have Rachmanis on the Beis HaMikdash, have Rachmanis on Yerushalayim, the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So that's the Nusach that we say today, have Rachmanis on everything. So Rashi points out, and the Gemara says in Perek Shlosh Shochla, when you recite Bechus HaMazon, you're obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Brischa Shechasamto Bivusareinu for giving us the mitzvah Bris Milah. And the Gemara and the Afchof and Mevesim Baruch Hu has a suffix where the women are obligated to recite Benching Men HaTorah Medirabbonim. The Mishnah just says on the Afchof that women are obligated to recite Bechus HaMazon, but the Mishnah doesn't say whether it's Men HaTorah Medirabbonim. So the Gemara has a suffix whether the obligation for women to recite Benching is the Raisa of the Rabbanus. Rashi and Tesis and all the Rishonim wonder, what's the Shaila? It's not a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. Why should there be a suffix whether the obligation of women to recite benching is the Raisa of the Rabbanon? So Tesis gives one suggestion, that al brischa shechasam tabib sarenu is supposed to be an integral part of the benching, men haTorah, and the women don't have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving them the mitzvah bris milah. They don't have the mitzvah bris milah. You don't have an obligation to be mal their own children. The obligation is only mutal on the father, not on the mother, the Gemara says. Yomtzav oso, oso v'lo oso. So the Gemara says that women are not mechuyev to be mal their children. So women don't have to say, al brischa shechasam to bibsareinu. So Tosfos says that's the Gemara's ibai, that's the suffix. Maybe the whole obligation to bench is only with the Rabbanon. It's all or nothing, since they don't have to say everything. So they're not mechuyev to recite the whole benching. That's the Gemara's suffix. Where did the Gemara learn out that there's an obligation to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bris milah? The pasuk only says, so you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food. Eretz Shalom Miskenes Tachal Balech Mechad Tavzvot Tavirachto on the food. Al Ha'oretz is Eretz Yisrael. And HaTayva, or HaTayva Zeh V'Halvanon is Yerushalayim, the two aspects of Yerushalayim, the capital of Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash. Where did they figure out that you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the giving us the bris milah, bris chosha chasam tabib sarenu? So Rashi writes on that Gemara in Perek Shlosh Shachlu, because Eretz Yisrael was given to Avraham Avinu in the end of Lech Lecha in conjunction with the mitzvah Bris Milah. So since we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Bris Milah, so it's understood that we should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us, since we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael, Al Ha'aretz HaToyva, so you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the mitzvah Bris Milah, because at the time of the giving of the mitzvah milah, that's when the matana of Eretz Yisrael was granted to Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avraham Avinu a bris over the fact that he's giving him Eretz Yisrael. Keeps on making a bris with Yitzchak and with Yankiv. Each one of the others makes a bris that Eretz Yisrael is going to belong to them. It's very strange. We don't understand what he have to make a bris for. He gave them Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, "Kum misalf barat l'orko l'rochbo ki l'cho etineno," so it does mean that this was a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give Eretz Yisrael to the descendants of Avraham Avinu. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf, when Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, he was going to Eretz Yisrael. Take it from Yad. So why was there a need for a bris? And Baruch Shalom keeps on promising Avram and Yitzchak and Yankiv that he's going to give their descendants Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't have to promise. He gave them Eretz Yisrael already. So the Chazon Ish explains in his Sefer on Shviyas that the matana of Eretz Yisrael is different from any other matana. Whenever someone owns property, he can always lose his property if there'll be a kibush melchama. The Gemara in Gitna on Daf Lamaches learns that from Sukkim, that if one country wages war against one kingdom, wages war against another kingdom, whether right or wrong, whether kiddin or shalai kiddin, the kingdom, the army that wins the war, acquires ownership of all of the property, all the possessions of the government that lost the war. Kind of the karka, the kind of the metalklam, the kind of the people as avadim, they acquire ownership of everything. So everything under the sun, any ownership that you have in the world, you can lose your ownership based on kibush melchama, with one exception, the matana of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was given to Avraham Avinu And a bris was made. And a bris means the Ramban on Chumash writes a few times, the bris is like a shvua, and a bris in the shvua means I'll call upon him under all conditions. It's not subject to cancellation. So people mistakenly think that the Jewish people acquired Eretz Yisrael anew in 1948 when the British gave us Eretz Yisrael, or in the United Nations gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. That's not true. Eretz Yisrael was given to the Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was born in 1948 with Bria Soilam. The Gemara points out if you calculate the Cheshbon. So when Avraham Avinu got the gift of Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him at that time, there's a Krisis Bris on this. There's a Shvuah, there's going to be Al-Kol upon him. Even though there'll be a Kibush and another Kibush and another Kibush, and for many years the Jewish people will not have Shlita over Eretz Yisrael, but Al-Pidin, we never lost our ownership of Eretz Yisrael. It always belonged to the Jewish people. The mitzvah of Milah has two parts to it. There's Milah or Priya. There are two different membranes. There's a thick membrane with thick skin, and then there's a thinner membrane. So the Gemara in Yevamos points out in Perikah Orel that from the days of Avraham Avinu till Yeshua ben Nun, after they crossed over the Yarden, and then in Gilgal, it says that they had a national bris milah. They had a big national bris milah right before Korban Pesach and Pesach Mitzrayim. Then there's a big national bris milah for everybody in Gilgal after they crossed over the Yarden. So the pasuk says Shuv Moles Bnei Yisrael Shenis. He should be mal everybody all over again. How can you be mal a person again a second time if he had already bris milah the first time? Many people in the Midbar were not mal, only Shevet Levi. But the mashmos of the pasuk in Yeshua sounds like everybody was mal. Even those people already had a bris milah before. How is that possible? So the Gemara says because from the days of Avraham Avinu till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they only performed milah. They only cut off the or ha'orlo, the thicker skin. And starting from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they were commanded Shuv Moles Bnei Yisrael Shenis. Even the people who had a first bris milah should perform a second bris milah. From now on, you have to do priya as well. After this din was given to Yeshua ben Nun that you have to do priya, so now the Mishnah says in Perakah Blazer the Mila, Mol v'lod paro kilo loy mol. If you did Mila and you didn't do the Priya, it's not considered a kosher, a bris Mila. You have to do it over again. The Netziv has a discussion in his commentary on the Shiltas. What's the din? It's interesting, this Mishnah. Once in a while you have a Mishnah that's repeated in two Masichtas, but to have the Mishnah repeated in the same Perek twice, that's extremely rare. This Mishnah appears twice in the same Perek, Perek Avlezer and the Mila. The Tosfos Yontav HaMishnayos writes, he doesn't understand why the Mishnah writes it twice. Mol v'lod paro kilo loy mol, that it doesn't count. If you do, after Yeshua ben Nun was given the din of Priya, so if you do Mila without Priya, it doesn't count for anything. Strange, okay. So the Netziv has a discussion. Tosfos points out there on Perikah Oral, on the first daf, Dafayin on the base. And Perikah Oral, so Tosfos raises the question, what do you mean? Yeshua ben Nun came along, and he said, B'toras Nevuah, the Rabbi Shalom changed his mind. From the days of Avraham Avinu till today, through including Moshe Rabbeinu, the Din HaMila was, he just do Mila. You only cut the Or HaOrlo. And from now on, the Rabbi Shalom told me that he changed the Din, he changed his mind, he wants us to do Priya. So they should have given the death penalty. It's the Hanovi HaSheker. Hanovi tells us the Rabbi Shalom changed his mind. The Gemara says the rules are, and Navi tells me, he tells me I should take all of my money out of ITT, IT&T, and whatever, and put it in gold. I should take my money out of gold and put it, whatever the Navi tells you, you have to listen. Even if the Navi tells you to violate an Avera, Lohairasho, you have to listen. But if the Navi tells you to violate Avodah Zarah, Lohairasho, you don't listen. Or if the Navi tells you to change a din in the Torah permanently, also you don't listen. Biyadua that is in Navi Ashekas. How could they listen to Yeshua ben Nun? He says, from now on, there's a din l'doiris that mol v'loy para kilo loy mol. So they should have given the death penalty. It's the Hanovi HaSheker. So Tosfos has that kasha, the first Omid base in Perikah Oral. So Tosfos says, it must have been that there was a halacha l'Moshe Messina from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that a Navi will come in the future, and he will tell you that there's going to come a time that you will be required to do Priya. Not yet. Now you don't have to do Priya. From the days of Avraham Avinu till today, and including today when Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, there's no need to do Priya. But a time will come that a Navi will come and he'll tell you that you should change it. Just like we have Ezra came along and he changed the script of the Sefer Torah. The Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanoim in the second Perek in Sanhedrin. So one Tana says that Ksav Ashuris was always used for all the Sefer Torah from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. They always used Ksav Ashuris. And the accepted opinion is not so. It's a historical Machlekes. The accepted opinion is that the Sefer Torah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu were written Ksav Levi Noah, the old alphabet, the old Aleph base. And only from the days of Ezra on, they changed the script of the Sefer Torah. So the Rishonim ask also, is the Novi a Sheker? How can he come along? Ezra Sefer was a Novi. And he comes and he changes the Din L'Dorita. From now on, if you write a Sefer Torah in the old Ksav, it's possible. You have to write Davke B'Ksav Ashur. Is the Novi a Sheker? So the Rishonim explained, no, they knew from the Chumash. It's Mishnah HaTorah of Ksav Shosed Lihishtanais. The word Mishnah Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu already said, the Ksav is also Lihishtanais. A Novi will come sometime in the future, be prepared for it, and he will change the din. Now, Lei Sata, we use Ksav Ibri, Ksav Levi Noah. A Novi will come in the future and change it. So when Ezra Novi came, he was a Novi, and he said, I was told by Nevuah that now is the time to change. So he wasn't really saying against Torah's Moshe. He was saying, Moshe Rabbeinu said, a time will come when you got to change it. So it's time to change. So those two mitzvahs changed already. The mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon changed a little bit also. They were told in advance that when they'll get the Eretz Yisrael, they have to add another bracha. When they'll get the Beis HaMikdash, they have to add another bracha. When they'll have Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, they have to add another thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these were told to Moshe Rabbeinu already. So the nusach of the Birchas HaMazon already did change. And the Mila already did change. And the Ksava of the Sefer Torah also changed already. There's one, the Rambam writes, there's only one more mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu was told is going to change, and we're still waiting for that change to occur. The Pasuk says that until we will get Keni Knizi Kadmoini in Eretz Yisrael, we only have six Ori Mikvah. And then, when Eretz Yisrael will be expanded all the way till Nahar Pros, we'll have Eretz Keni Knizi Kadmoini, then we have Saftalacha Ot Shalosh Orim Alo Shalosh Orela. You add on another three Ori Mikvah, it's going to add up to some total of nine Ori Mikvah. It's going to be nine Ori Mikvah in total. So that the Rambam writes, that's the only mitzvah that's going to change that didn't yet change. There were other mitzvahs that did change already, but they were all told to Moshe Rabbeinu that they're going to change. And this one didn't happen yet. We're waiting for the day that we'll get Eretz Keni Knizi Kadmoini, and we'll change that one as well. So the Tosis writes in Yevamos, the final and base, it must have been, otherwise it doesn't make sense, it must have been that Moshe Rabbeinu was told that a Novi will come in the future, and we'll tell Bnei Yisrael when it's time to perform Priya. And the Navi who came was none other than Yeshua ben Nun. When they came to Gilgal and they did the national Bris Milah, so he said they have to do, in addition to the Milah, they have to do the Priya. So the Netziv has a Shaila, what if a Moel only quotes Chubis and Achreinim? What if a Moel only did Milah, he didn't do Priya, so it's no good? And then he realizes he forgot to do the Priya. When he does the Priya, does he say the Bracha Shekinishana ben Mitzvah Sivanu ala Milah? Oh no, the Mila he did already. How do you translate? Mol v'la para ki ilo loy mol. He's not Yotze Mila, period. Oh no, the Mila he did, Mila from the days of Avram Avinu until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, Mila meant Mila. He didn't do Prila. So you say, Ashekereshanim v'msasu tzvanu, ala Priya. But does it make sense to say ala Mila? So he writes a Shaila, what was the nature? He quotes a machlek yisachreinim about. So he says, what was the nature of the halacha l'moshe misinai that Tosfos thinks that there was over here? Allah al Moshe Messina, that a day will come that a Navi will tell us that we should change the din, that it's not enough Mila, you have to do Priya. Does it mean that the Mila really means Mila? Mila means Chitoch Or Ha'orla, cutting off the Or Ha'orla. And Priya is a separate thing. So Mobala Par Kilalai Mol just means you're not Yotze the Mitzvah now, but it doesn't mean the Mila was there. Or should you say no, that Allah al Moshe Messina says that a time will come when the Navi will notify us, turn out that was Yeshua ben, Navi will notify us that from now on, the Pshat and the Pasuk of Mila doesn't mean cutting off the Or Ha'orla. Mila means exposing the Aver, exposing the Gid. So even if you cut off the Or Ha'orla, but it's still covered with the Or HaPriya, the thinner membrane, the lower membrane, still, since the Aver is not exposed, so it's Kilo Loi Mol literally. Mikan Al Habov in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, it's a halacha l'moshe misina that's not adding on an additional din, in addition to mila, you need priya. No, it's defining that mikan labo, the definition of the word mila means gilui eiver ha'erva, gilui eiver ha'mila. And if you won't do priya, it's considered as if you didn't do Mila, and then the bracha should be ala Mila. So the Netziv writes up that this is the suffix. In Shulchan Aruch, that's a famous machlekes, the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber says you have to have the same person do the Mila and the Priya. Years ago they used to do Mila separately and Priya separately. They used to do Mila, cut off the Orha Orla. And sometimes there would be Mechaber two Moilim on the weekdays. There was a common practice that Mechaber two Moilim, one to do the Mila, one to do the Priya. Today, it's very rare, because most of the Moilim do the Mila and the Priya Bevasachas. They cut off the Or HaOrla with the Or HaPriya. There is no in-between. It's not possible to be done by two people. The Hungarian Moelim insist on doing the Mila the way they always did it, not in changing. They say, Asvar, that you're not Yoitza. You have to do separately the Mila and then separately do the Priya. So then the Shulchan Aruch, that's a Machlok. Machabe says you're not allowed to have two Moelim do the Mila and the Priya, because Mila is Deicha Shabbos, only Mila Bizman is Deicha Shabbos, means when you fulfill the mitzvah of Mila. If you're going to do only Mila, the first Moel is going to do Mila, is not going to do Priya. So he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. So it turns out that he was Mechal Shabbos without any heter. So the Mechabes says that you have to have the same Moel, do the Mila and the Priya on Shabbos. Otherwise, the one who does the first one is in violation of Chilul Shabbos, he had no heter. And the Ramah disagrees. It's a long Ramah in Yeridei and the end of Hilchas Mila. And he says, look, in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to bring Karbonis on Shabbos also. Even though it was Chilul Shabbos, they brought Tamidim Amasaf from Karbon Shezman HaKavua is Deicha Shabbos. One Kohen did the whole Avodah? No. On Shabbos, one Kohen did the Shechita, one Kohen did the Kabbalah Sadam, Halacha Sadam, Zrikas Sadam. So Shechita is a Malacha. Zrikas Sadam is a Malacha Medir Rabbanon, a Mesakin. Because the Zrikas Sadam is the Gemar of the Avodah Sadam, makes the Karbon Kosher. If you don't do the Zrikas, it's puzzle. Haktara is a malacha. Haktara is you're burning. Havara, you make a fire, and then that's a malacha of havara. And then when you throw the emurim, when you throw the chalev on the mizbech to have it burned, that's a malacha of bishul. Whole bunch of malachas involved. So Beferish and the Mishnais, they divided it up among many different kohanim on Shabbos, not only on the weekdays. Shabbos also they divided it up. Either Mechaber's argument was the heter to be Mechal Shabbos. So he says, if it would have been Duchuya, if Korban Tzibu would be Deicha Shabbos, so it's only Deicha, the Kiyam HaMitzvah is Deicha Daver. So the one who does the first step doesn't have a Kiyam HaMitzvah. Only one who does the Gemar has the Kiyam HaMitzvah. But obviously, the Gemara says in Yuma that Korban Tzibu is Mutar on Shabbos, is Hutra, it's not Duchuya. So Hutra means any aspect of the Avodah. If you're just going to do Shechita, you're not going to finish. It's going to come out it wasn't an Avodah. If you're just going to do Mila, you're not going to do Priya. It's going to come out that there was no Heter, because it wasn't the Mila. It was not part of the Kima Mitzvah Mila on Shabbos. But if the first Moel does Mila, the second Moel does Priya, first Moel is standing around to make sure that it's going to be taken care of. Even though he personally didn't do the Kima Mitzvah Mila, he only did Mila, he didn't do Priya. He didn't complete the Mitzvah. But as long as it turns out that the whole Mitzvah of the Korban Tzibur was fulfilled, the whole Mitzvah Mila was fulfilled, so we say Hutra. Hutra means the Chepta, not the Kiyama Mitzvah, the Kiyama Gavra of the Mitzvah Mila, the Kiyama Gavra of fulfilling the Mitzvah of Hakrovas Karbonis. The Chepta of Mila Bishabbos, the Chepta of Hakrovas Karbonis Tziba Bishabbos is what's Deicha Shabbos. And the Mechaber apparently thinks you're right, that what the Ramah quotes from the Gemara in Yuma, that's correct, that the Karbonis Tzibur Deicha Shabbos is not Duchuya Tzutra. And it's beferish that they divided the Hakrovas HaKarbonis among many different Kohanim. But the Mechaber holds, that's how the Be'er HaGadol explains Pasha Pshat. The Mechaber holds, Amila B'Shabbos is Duchuya, it's not Hutra. It's only Duchuya. Duchuya means that the Kiyam HaGavra, my fulfilling a mitzvah is Deicha L'Yisa. But if I only do Mi, I didn't do Priya, then I don't have any Kiyam HaMitzvah to be Deicha. That's assumed to be the Machlek, the Mechaber and the Ramot. Where the Mila Bizman is Deicha Shabbos is Bebchinas Duchuya, Bebchinas Hutra. Chaba holds Duchuya, and the Ramah holds Hutra. There was a minig in Yerushalayim, Bedavke, even though all week long they had the same Moel for Mila and Priya, on Shabbos they would Bedavke have two Moelim to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Ramah. One of the Rabbanim in the yeshiva came from Yerushalayim years ago, so he said he, as a child, he remembered that all week long they would have 1 mile do the Megillah and Priya. On Shabbos they would go out of the way, Dafkik, to demonstrate that we pass like the Ramah, that you can have 2 mile, one to do the Megillah, one to do the Priya. This Netziv is an interesting Netziv. The Netziv in his commentary on the Shiltas, where he raises the suffix, what's the nature of this Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that when it comes the days of Yishuv Benun, you have to add on Priya. Is an halacha, the two types of halachas l'moshe misina. Is halacha l'moshe misina that's adding something on, halacha hamosifo, or halacha hamefareshes? Does the halacha l'moshe misina add on in addition to the fulfillment of mila? You got to do priya also. Oh no, halacha l'moshe misina says that from now on the definition of mila means to uncover the eva ha'orlo, and you're not in fulfillment of uncovering until you do the priya. You have such a similar shaila in other areas. Rav Soloveitcher used to give this as a mashal. The Gemara says that in Parshas Kedoshim, the Chumash talks about the din of orla. When you plant a tree, nothing to do with this orla. This is a different orla on a human being. That's orla on fruits that grow on a tree. So it says in Chumash in Parshas Kedoshim, Kisavayel ha'aretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Taitim call it Machal, and you plant a fruit-bearing tree, V'aralt Marlosai, you're not allowed to eat the fruits that grow the first 3 years. A lot of times nothing grows the first 3 years, so you don't lose anything. But if something grows, you're not allowed to eat the fruits the first 3 years. So the Chumash is a beferish that it's only in Eretz Yisrael, kisavoy al ha'aretz. When the Taitim collects mouth, comes the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Kiddushin. Mishnah says that Orla is nahegis b'chutzlar. So Gemara says, what kind of a din is that? It's against the Chumash. So one opinion in the Gemara that it's only made the Rabbanim. The other opinion, that's the generally accepted opinion, that it's halacha l'moshe misina. Orla b'chutzlar is halacha l'moshe misina. So what's the din if somebody eats orla on Eretz Yisrael? Somebody eats peiros that grew on a tree within the first 3 years. So you get malchus, you eat orla, you get malchus. Lo yeyachel, it says lo yeyachel, you're not allowed to eat. Arelim yelachem lo yeyachel. What if you eat orla b'chutzlar? So the pashto should have been, eat orla b'chutzlars, the Rambam says there's no malchus. How can there be malchus? In order to get malchus, you have to have a lab dumya de lab da chasim. It has to be similar to lo saksim shor b'dishoy. Because in Chumash, the pasuk that says, v'hayon bin hakos harashov v'hipil ha'shov v'kol lefonov, that the bezin gives malchus, that pasuk appears right next to the pasuk of lo saksim shor b'dishoy. And the Gemara says in the first sugi in Yevamos, daf hei, davov, that only Chumash dvar midarshin smuchim. They have two psukim, one next to the other, that whoever does an aver which is similar to lo sachsim shabedisha dumi dalav dachasima, you get malchus. So the first step has to be similar to lo sachsim shabedisha, has to be written in chumash. If it's only halacha l'moshe misina, for sure it's not dumi dalav dachasima. Then the Gemara says it has to be written in chumash in a lashon of loy sachsim shabedisha or hishama pen vial. If it's not written in lashon loy hishama pen vial, so then there's no malchus. But if it's not written at all, so for sure there's no. So the Rambam says there's no malchus if you eat orla b'chutzlarts. It's not dumya de la sachs m'shar b'dish. And the Rambam writes that he's in disagreement with the Ga'onim who thought that one who eats orla b'chutzlarts does get malchus. Usually the Rambam writes in the Hagdama, he's not going to quote all the different dissenting opinions. The Tanoim had machloikis, and the Namaroim had machloikis, and the Ga'onim had, and the Rishonim, Tosfos always disagrees with the Rambam. So the Rambam writes, he's just going to quote one shita. He's not going to give. But every so often, around 100 times, the Rambam says the Goyim disagree on this, on that, on the other thing. Here also, the Rambam says the Goyim think that if you eat Orla B'chutzlarts, you do get Malchus, and he writes it doesn't make any sense. There is no Malchus. It's Halacha L'Moshe Misina. So what's Taka Pshat in the Goyim? How did the Goyim come off to say that there's Malchus on Halacha L'Moshe Misina? It's not written in Chumash at all. So Rav Chaim has an essay from the Rambam, a famous explanation, that orla b'chutzlarts halacha l'moshe misina, but there are two types of halacha l'moshe misina. This is Rav Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So every so often they gave very different shiurim, very different style of shiurim. They would Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, I forgot already, one of them said the shiur in the yeshiva, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the other one gave the shiur, and Shabbos David Chaza, and they would go by that. They would learn a blot a day approximately in Balozhin. So the Netziv would cover three blot with his style of shiur. Rav Chaim covered the next three blot with his style of shit, and then they went weiter. Very strange, how did it blend in? So some of the Talmidim boycotted the Netziv's shir. Some of the Talmidim boycotted Rav Chaim's shir. Rav Kook, when he learned the Malosh, and he liked the Netziv style. He didn't like Rav Chaim's style. and others only like the Rav Chaim style. They didn't like the Netziv, and others Bitmimus. These three blood they learned by the Netziv, and these three blood they learned by Rav Chaim. They didn't see that there was any contradiction. So once in a while, the Rav Chaim would say a whole maracha, and he would show that it's all based on what the Rosh Yeshiva had said, what the Netziv had. So this is one of those. The Netziv by Orla, by Bris Mila, Molvalipora, by Priya. So the Netziv writes this idea that two types of halacha l'moshe m'sinai, sometimes the halacha that's most efes, and sometimes halacha ha-mefareshes. So Rav Chaim writes over here, by Orla b'chutz la'aretz, there are two ways to understand. The pasuk says, kisavoy al ha'aretz. The mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam holds that Orla b'chutz la'aretz has a separate halacha l'moshe m'sinai, not based on chumash at all. And of course, there's no malchus, because it's not dumi adalav d'chassim, it doesn't have chumash at all. And the Goyim are of the opinion know that halacha l'moshe m'sinai is halacha ha-mefareshes. We reinterpret the pasuk when it says, kisavoy al ha'aretz. The pasuk doesn't mean to say that this is the mokoim nihu ha-mitzvah, that's the zman nihu ha-mitzvah. Kisavoyev al ha'aretz, when the Jews enter Eretz Yisrael, then there's going to be a new mitzvah of Orla, and it applies all over the world. The Chumash doesn't mean in Eretz Yisrael, kisavoyev, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, this mitzvah applies in Eretz Yisrael. No, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, this mitzvah applies all over the world. So the din of Orla b'chutz la'aretz is mefurish in the pasuk. Once you have the halacha Moshe Messina, if not for the halacha Moshe Messina, we would have interpreted Pasha Pshat, Kisavoy al Ha'aretz, that that's the Mokam Nihu Gam Mitzvah. And in the Orla is not Noig B'chutz L'aretz. The halacha Moshe Messina reinterprets the Pasuk that Kisavoy al Ha'aretz is the Zman Nihu Gam Mitzvah, not the Mokam Nihu Gam Mitzvah. And Orla B'chutz L'aretz is Mamish Pshuto Shal Mikra. It's included in Torah Shebichzav. So of course, it's Dumi Dalav Dachasim. That's how Rav Chaim explains. Rav Chaim explains that the machloik is the Ramam and the Goyim, whether that the Revai is Noig B'chutz La'aretz is Lishitosim. According to the Rambam, that Orla B'chutz La'aretz is separate Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, so the Rambam says the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is only Nemra on Orla, was never Nemra on Revai. So there is no such thing as Revai B'chutz La'aretz. That the Revai is only in Eretz Yisrael. But the Goyim claim that the nature of the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is that it reinterprets Pshat and the Pasuk. So Kisavoyel Ha'aretz is the Zman Niyoga Mitzvah, not the Mokam Niyoga Mitzvah. And the Pasuk really refers to Chutz La'aretz like Eretz Yisrael. Then it says, V'ashana Harviz here called Piriya Kodesh Yilulam L'Hashem. So it goes both on Eretz Yisrael and on Chutz La'aretz. So Rav Chaim explains in a Sefer that it's totally Zeh B'Zeh. Machlekes, the Ramam and the Goyin, and the double Machlekes. One Machlekes, whether there's Malkus of Yid, or the B'Chutz La'aretz. Second Machlekes, whether you have Revai B'Chutz La'aretz, it's totally Zeh B'Zeh. So it's interesting, there's such a machlekes, the Rambam and Rashi, when you get to Oral She'ovad, we have in Chumash a pasuk that says, Kol Oral lo yechol bo. An Oral is not permitted to eat Korban Pesach. It even says, the way we assume Pshat in the pasuk, Chalevedish miknas kesef, Hamalta mosa oz yechol bo, that if I have an Ebed Kenayni who is loymol, I have a child, and I didn't do the bris milah on my child, to the parents I'm not allowed to eat Korban Pesach either. Lilas HaBein is ma'akim me'alechel b'Korban Pesach for the parents. So we have a din of Chumash that an oral is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Then the Mishnah in Perek Oral says an oral is not allowed to eat Truma. That's not explicit in Chumash, that's learned out. Then the Gemara has a din, a Kohen oral is not allowed to be makar v'karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. That's not in Chumash. That's a pasuk in Yecheskel. How does it say? V'chol ben Echor, it's a funny lotion. If you have a Kohen who's a Goy, he's not allowed to be makar karbonis. What kind of a law? V'chol ben Echor, a Goy is a Kohen. What's haste a Goy is a Kohen? Erelev, the Erel Boser. Either he's Erelev, he's an Apikiris. Apikiris dina ka'akum. In order to be a Kohen, you have to first be a human being. A Goylam can't be a Kohen. If the Maharal Prague makes a Goylam, or anybody else, Rava Baragava, leave out the Maharal Prague. Rava Baragava, the Maharal, Rava made a Goylam. So the Goylam can't be a Kohen. He's not Jewish. He's not a human being. He's not a, Chazanish says that the Gemara says that Rava killed the Goylam. Rava made a Goylam and he killed it. So he says that Zenitzerit Sikh, he can't kill a non-Jew. So obviously a Goylam is not only not Jewish, he's not a non-Jew either. He's not a human being. It's a behemoth. So you're allowed to kill a behemoth. So in order to be a Kohen, you have to first be a human being. then you have to be Jewish, then you have to belong to Shevet Levi, then on top of all of that, you can begin to discuss whether he's a kohen or not. What if the kohenim are not apikoros? So apikoros dina ka'akum, so he's missing one, he's a human being, but he's missing the next step. He's not fully Jewish. He's only 85% Jewish. Apikoros dina ka'akum. So he's not fully Jewish, he can't go to the next step in order to be considered a kohen. So that's a gemara, that if a kohen is an apikoros, it's not really a gemara. It's the Ritva says like that on the gemara. The Ritva disagrees, but the Rashi, the way Rashi learns the gemara, the Ritva in the end of Chulin. So he says, a kohen is an apikoros, is dina ka'akum, so how can he have a kedushas kuna? He doesn't have a full din of a Yisrael. So the pasuk in Yecheskel reads, v'chol ben echer, if a kohen is a goy, either erel leiv, either is an apikoros dina ka'akum, or erel basar, if he's an orel, a Jew who is born Jewish doesn't need mila in order to convert. A non-Jew who wants to convert has to have mila in the shem geiris. If a person is born a Jew, he's Jewish. He does not have to have mila in order to become Jewish. But still, the Gemara understands pshat and the pasuk erel basar, a kohen who's an orel, is something incomplete with his kedushas Yisrael. Even though he is Jewish, it says in Hilchos Shechita that a shechet who doesn't have a bris mila, orel is kosher lishchot, even though akum is posel lishchita, a goy sheshachet shechitos and nevelas matame b'masa is mamish and nevela lachilas nevela fetuma. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara in the first perek in Chulin daf hey, that if the shechet is an oral, is shechitosik sheiris. So the Gemara's loshen is Yisrael mal Yehu. He's a full Yisrael. So that the loshen is a little bit exaggerated. A Yisrael mal Yehu, he isn't. He's not 100% fully Jewish. The mila, the fact that you didn't yet perform the mila means that there's an incomplete kedushas Yisrael. He is Jewish. The baby is Jewish. Even before you do the bris mila, even if you never do the bris mila, let's say a baby has some medical condition, you're not allowed to do the bris mila. So he's Jewish. He's not 100% Jewish. The mila is mashlim the kedushas Yisrael. It's not the same as a ger. A ger laboyla is gayer. So the mila is mamish leikuvo. He's not Jewish at all if he doesn't perform the bris mila. But if the person is born Jewish and he doesn't perform the bris mila, so it's an incomplete kedushas Yisrael. The mila is mashlim the kedushas Yisrael. So that's how the pasuk reads: V'chol ben echer, any kohen who's a goy, either erel leiv or erel basar. Either erel leiv is an apikoros dina ka'akum, so he doesn't have a full din Yisrael, or erel basar, the kohen was born in Ireland and never performed the bris mila for medical reasons, whatever. So he's considered ben echer. He's considered like he doesn't have a full din Yisrael. Lo yovel mikdashi d'shar seni. Such a kohen is not allowed to be makor karbonis, because how can he have a din kahuna if he doesn't have a full din Yisrael? So you can't have a full din of a kohen. So there's a machlekes Rashi in there. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk in Yecheskel. What happened over here? Yecheskel came and he made up a new din. Adosi Yecheskel mana amora, who before the days, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf pei gimel. Until the days of Yecheskel, Anovi, no one ever heard of the din. Yecheskel came and he invented a new din. They should give him the death penalty as a novi. He's changing a novi asheke. He's changing the din of Moshe Rabbeinu. He says from now on, a new din, which we never heard of from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says, no. Ella, the Gemara says, Gemara, Gemiri law, must have been that they had a tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that this is a din. Yecheskel wrote it down in Kisvei HaKodesh. But the din was always like that. It's not that Yecheskel HaNovi invented a new din Mekan HaLabo. We would assume that he's a Novi HaSheker. So Rashi writes on Sanhedrin, on that Gemara, and Daf Pei Dalet, Pei Gimel, Pei Dalet. So Rashi writes over there, it's an Iser, but there's no Malkus, because it's only known through Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Gemara Gemiri La, Vasa Yecheskel, Vas Mechei Akros. Since it's only Gemara Gemiri, it's only known through Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, there is no Pasuk in Chumash that says like that. So the Mele, there's no Malkus. That's the top Rashi and Pei Dalet Amid Aleph. The Gemara has a whole Brisa in this thing off of Elu Shebe Miso. It's a Tosefta that starts Pei Gimel Amid Aleph, goes to the end of Terek, till Pei Dalet Amid Aleph. So it lists off all the people, all the averes for which one is punished with Misa B'dei Shemayim. Because you have in Sanhedrin, Elohein HaNiskolim, Elohein HaNechnokin, Elohein HaNerogin, Elohein HaNisrafin, then you have Elohein HaLoikin in Makkos. And the Ramban writes in the Machamas in one place that Makkos and Sanhedrin is one besichter. Because Elohein HaLoikin, Elohein HaGoylin is a hemshech of all of these Elohein HaNisrafin, Elohein HaNiskolim. Then the Tosefta, and then you have the opening Mishnah in Krisus lists off all those Averis, the Lamavav Krisus Amuris Batar, all the 36 Averis for which the punishment is karis. It is a tosefta increases, where it lists off elohen sheve misa, all the abeis which are chay misa v'day shaman. So the Gemara has this discussion about oral she'ovad, a kohen oral who does avoid and beis hamikdash. Rashi, so the Gemara says, until Yecheskel, and now we write it down, it was a Gemara Gemirlo, v'as Yecheskel v'as mechei akra. He incorporated it into the Kisri HaKodesh. So Rashi writes on the top Rashi on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, Hainu Asar Medirei Kabbalah Ba'alma V'lo Loki Alo. There is no Malkus, because not Dumi Dolav Dachasim, it's not written in Chumash. You look in the Rambam says that there is Malkus. How come the Rambam says there's Malkus, but there is no Pasuk in Chumash? The Rambam is the one who writes by Orla B'chutzlor that there's no Malkus, because only known to Halacha Moshe Misinai. Anything that's only known to Halacha Moshe Misinai, there's no Malkus. So the Pashtus is that there's a chilik between the two. Like Rab Chaim explained, what's the machlokes? The Rambam and the Gaonim, whether there's Malkus by one who eats Orla B'chutzlor. Rab Chaim explained, if it's Halacha HaMosefes, the Halacha Moshe Misinai is B'chadosh and Udin, then Orla B'chutzlor is awesome. And there's no, even after the Halacha Moshe Misinai, there's no Pasuk Chumash. Pasuk Chumash only talks about Orla Be'eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam says in such a case, there's no Malkus. If the Rambam would have agreed with the Gaonim that the Halacha Moshe Misinai has Mefarish the Pasuk, Kisavoy El Horetz means the Zman Niyuga Mitzvah, not the Mokam Niyuga Mitzvah. And once you reinterpret the Pasuk, so it says in Chumash that Orla is not given Mechuzla. Now, if the Rambam would have thought like that, he would have agreed that there would be Malkus. So here, this is exactly the Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. What's the nature of this Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that tells us that a Kohen Orel is not allowed to be Makriv Karbonos? So Rashi holds this a separate Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So it's a separate din, has no basis in Chumash whatsoever. So the Meila, there can't be any Malkus. Hasara L'Alma V'lo Loki Alo. Can't have Malkus, it doesn't say in Chumash. The Rambam explains that it does say in Chumash. When the Rambam quotes the din of Orel She'ovad, he says, because an oral doesn't have a full Kedushas Yisrael. And in order to be a Kohen, you have to first be a human being, then you have to be Jewish, and then you have to be a Kohen. So a Jew who doesn't have a Bris Milah is lacking, partially, in his Kedushas Yisrael. So the Rambam says he can't be a full Kohen. So we have a Din Zar Shoavad. A non-Kohen whose Makor Karbonos and Beis HaMikdash does get Malkus. It says a Pasuk in the Chumash, V'zal La'ikar V'aleim. A non-Kohen is not allowed to be Makor Karbonos. If you have a Kohen who's an Orel, the Rambam says, Dina Kizar. He's looking. The Rambam explains that in connection with his statement that a Kohen Orel Shoavad Loike, because an Orel is Dina Kizar, and a Zar is Mefurish in the Chumash. So that's the Machlekes, Rashi and the Rambam. On this, Halacha Moshe Misina, that until the days of Yecheskel was Gemara Gemirilo, V'asa Yecheskel V'asa Mechei Akro, that a Kohen Orel is not allowed to be makor karbanos on the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi says, Azhara B'Alma, there's no Pasuk, so there's no Malkus for it. Halacha Moshe Messina. The Rambam says, no, this is like the Goyim said on Orla B'chutz Loretz. This is like the Netziv explained, that the two opinions regarding Mila Priya, where the Priya becomes part of, after the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, the Halacha Moshe Messina says that we reinterpret the word Mila. Mila doesn't mean rather means Gilay Ever Hamila. So if you say like that, so then if the Moel did the Mila, he didn't do the Priya, she'd say the Bracha Ala Mila when he does the Priya tomorrow. When he realized he didn't do the Priya, she'd say Ala Mila when he does. The Chumash at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha tells us that there's a din of Mila on the Avodim also on Eved Kenani, but it lists off two kinds of Eved Kenani. There's a Yelid Bais and then there's a Miknas Kesef. And the Mishnais and Perakav Lez and the Mila point out how to read Pshat and the Chumash, that a Yelid Bais is Nima L'Shmoin, a Miknas Kesef is Nima L'Echad, the two different dinim. A Yelid Bais means I own the mother. The mother was a Shivcha Kenani, she was Tovla L'Shem Shivcha Kenani, she's Chayv Mitzvahs, Keisha. The Shivcha Knais is Chayv HaMitzvahs, like a Jewish woman is Chayv HaMitzvahs. So if a woman is a Shivcha Knais, then she gives birth to a baby boy, so the baby boy has a Kedusha Sebe Knais, even without a Bris Milah, like a Jewish baby boy is born, has a Kedusha Yisrael even before you perform the Bris. So the Ebe Knais, he was born in Ebe Knais, because Ani Avdecha Ben Amasecha, his mother was a Shivcha Knais, so when he's born, he's an Ebe Knais, so his Milah is a Milah Shal Mitzvah. So that Milah Shal Mitzvah is Bishmini. And the Rambam says that it's Deicha Shabbos. Masheni Kain, a Miknas Kes means that a Nochri is selling his son The Rambam points out, a Nochri has a right to sell his children. Jewish parents do not own their children. Jewish parents have obligations towards their children. Children have obligations back towards the parents, but the parents have obligations towards the children, but they don't possess their children. The Jewish parents don't have the right to sell their children as avodim. But a Nochri parent, the Rambam says, has the right, legally, to sell his children as an eved. So let's say a Nochri has too many children in the family. He has one child and one too much. So he wants to sell that child. So I buy the child and I want to be malim, the shame evik naini. So that's a miknas kesef. So that's a milo shel gerus. So that's nima le'echod. Let's say the day the baby is born, he already wants to give up the baby for adoption. So if I buy the baby the same day he's born, I can be malim l'shem evik naini the same day. There's no din that you have to wait till the eighth day. That's a Mishnah. In Masech HaShabbos, paragraph Lezer Mila, that the elid bias is nima l'shmeina. And the Rambam says that the mila is dech HaShabbos, just like a mila by Jewish baby. Is Dech HaShabbos, a mila by Rebbe Knaan is also Dech HaShabbos. That's only if it's a milo shel mitzvah. Is milo shel mitzvah means he already is Jewish, or he already is Kedushas Rebbe Knaan. And you just want to have the milo to be. Mashlem the Kedushas Yisrael. But if he's a miknas kesef, that's a milo shel geiris, until you do the milo as a goy gomer. So that there is no din of shmini. That's the halacha. Is nima le'echad, he's mal on the same day. And even if he decide to wait a couple of days, it won't be Dech HaShabbos. If you wait till next Shabbos, I bought a miknas kesef who was born on Shabbos, and then I decide to wait to do the bris milah till next Shabbos. It's not dech Shabbos. Milah is only dech Shabbos when it's milah bismana. Milah bismana means if you need shmini. By miknas kesef, there is no din of shmini. The pashta says, let's say he's not a yelid bais, he's not a miknas kesef. He's neither. He's not an evik nayni. Let's say bismana is a Lincoln freed the slaves. So we don't have any evik nayni in America. Let's say there's a woman had a baby and wanted to be mala baby. A Jewish couple is adopting a baby. They want to be mala baby. The shame geris. The Gemara says ger katam ad bila mosal adas bezin. Is there a loch that you have to wait till the yom hashmini? But he's saying no. That's exactly the din of miknas kes. Miknas kes and nima le'echot. You can be mala on the same day that he's born. So that's the pashtus, that there is no din of shmini by a ger habol isgar. If the ger is 25 years old, then he comes to his house. Of course there's no din of shmini. He's already 25 years old. But the shad is, if you want to be mal, a little baby, the shem ger is the halacha, you have to wait the minimum till the eighth day, or there is no such din. So the pashto says there is no such din. The Rabbeinu Tam holds like that, that there is such a din. And Tosfos held that it was so ridiculous that Tosfos didn't even want to quote what the Rabbeinu Tam said. So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, there's a contradiction between two gemaras. What's the din if a nochri handles wine and he doesn't even know misasik, he doesn't even know what he's doing? The gemara gives marshal tinik ben yomo, a one-day-old baby. One-day-old baby can't even move. So the gemara has a psafani case. One-day-old baby, if this is rolling over in his crib, can't even roll over. He can't do anything. Tinik ben yomo is rolling over in his crib, if such a thing is possible, and he pushes a lulav into the wine. He touches the wine. So the Gemara says that he doesn't dasa the wine at all. Tinik ben yom. Then there's another Gemara that magakam shalei bekavana does dasa the wine. So which is it? So there's a big fat Tosfos in the end of Avodah Zarah about tinik ben yom. So the last line Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Tam gave a teretz, and we don't even want to quote what the Rabbeinu Tam said. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam said. He said if he said tinik ben yomo, we couldn't have even made him Jewish if we wanted to. You have to wait till he's 8 days old to perform a bris milah. So you can't have any complaints, can't have any tainus against him. So tinik ben yomo, he doesn't ask for the wine. But if he's already 8 days old and we could have converted him and we didn't, then we hold it against him and then he does ask for the wine. So Tosfos held that it was ridiculous. There is no such din. There is no such din that a milo shel geiris, you have to wait till the baby is 8 days old. The Tosfos rejected it. The other Balei HaTosfos, they quote our Tosfos, they left it out. You look in the other Balei HaTosfos on Maseches Avodah, the Ozarua quotes it. And he explains what the Rabbeinu Tam said and what they didn't accept it. The Marsha on the Gemara raises such a possibility that maybe a Milo Shel Geiris cannot be performed until Yom HaShmini, and the Tshuva in the Chasam Sefer talks about the Marsha is such a thing, Nitan Le'yomer. And the Chassidish Rebbe, the one who wrote the Bnei Yisoscher, Apirish Melech Dinever, wrote a sefer that's called Derech Pikudecho. Derech Pikudecho is like a sefer HaMitzvahs. He goes on the mitzvah, he goes in order like the sefer HaChinah goes in Mila, Pirugrivia, Mila, Giranosh. He goes in the order of the Chumash. Only goes till the middle of Mishpatim. That's all. They're not sure whether he never wrote the rest or he wrote the rest and for some Kabbalistic reason it was not supposed to be printed. So in every mitzvah, he divides every mitzvah into three parts. He talks about machshava, dibur, ma'aseh. So he talks about the tameh ha-mitzvah, then he talks about some details of the mitzvah, like a kitzur shulchan aruch. Then he writes a little bit chidush ha-torah. It's not at all like the minchas chinuch, nothing like that. But it's supposed to be something like that. When he has his original chidush, it was supposed to be along the lines like we know minchas chinuch was later. Minchas chinuch was later. Minchas chinuch was just 100 years ago, and he was more than 100 years ago. So the Mishnah Berurah in one place quotes the Derech Pikudech and the Bir Halacha. So the Derech Pikudech also writes on the mitzvah milah, he thinks also that you can't be mal a baby l'shem geris if he's younger than 8 days old. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. It comes up halacha l'maisa sometimes now. Let's say a non-Jewish woman is married to a Jewish man and they had a baby boy, and they're not, obviously they're not too religious. If the Jewish man is living with a non-Jewish woman, so they have a Jewish doctor perform the bris milah in the hospital. And they did it before the Yom HaShemini, because the woman doesn't stay in the hospital 8 days. They throw you out after 2 days. Now, Shach to stay 8 days in the hospital. And they had the Jewish doctor did it, L'shem Mitzvah, they didn't realize that it's a Goyish baby. They didn't realize the mother's not Jewish. So that's one Shaila. What's a din if you did a Mila L'shem Mitzvah, you thought the child was Jewish, you did a Mila L'shem Mitzvah, and then this child later on, 20 years later, wants to convert, he wants to become Jewish, do you have to repeat it? Do you have to do Atovas Damris all over again? But they say that b'di'evad, the milah that was done in Shem Mitzvah, is sufficient. So the Ruba of the Poskim, hold that that's good enough. In Eretz Yisrael, used to be a Dayan Verna. In Tel Aviv, they had the big Bate Dinim. So Verna was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yankee Moshe Chalap. He was a big Poisek. And he published a collection of Tshuvas, Mishpatei Shmuel. So he wrote a long Tshuva about this, that if the milah was done in Shem Mitzvah, and later on, the person wants to convert, there's no need to repeat the Hatovas Dambris. And he quotes all the Poskim. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was already an old man, so when he sent the tshuva to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he didn't have koyach, he writes. Rav Tzvi Pesach didn't have koyach to write a long tshuva, so he just writes, I have no koyach, I'm asking with what you said. I go along. That the Rav Soloveitchik also gave a psak on that many, many years ago, that if the, based on Ramban on Yevamos, the Ramban says beferish like that, that if the milah was done, the Shem Mitzvah, they thought the child was Jewish and they did a milah, the Shem Mitzvah milah. And later on it turns out the child was not Jewish and he wants to convert. So that's good enough the way it is. There's no need to do Atovas Dambris. The one who disagrees is the Minchas Yitzchok, the Goyen Abbezna of Yerushalayim. He was the chief rabbi of the Eidah Haredes. He always called himself the Goyen Abbezna of Yerushalayim. Even though the Eidah Haredes is not the overwhelming majority of Yerushalayim, that's how he used to write. So he has a tshuva. He always quotes all the Achrenim. So he quotes, you have 25 Achrenim, say it's good, but there's one Hungarian Achren who says it's no good. So the Hungarian wins. There's one Hungarian like over here in this neighborhood. If there's a din Torah between a Yekke and a Polish Jew, so the Psak is the Yekke wins. And if it's a Jew from Hamburg and a Jew from Frankfurt, the Jew from Frankfurt wins. Those are the rules. So that's a Minchas Chitzchok. It's one Hungarian Poisek says it's no good, you have to repeat it. So he outweighs all the 25 Gdolim who say that it is good.
In the basement?
Right. There's a Shaila. The Gemara says you need a Bezdin. Gertzar Shlosh and Mishpat Sidbe. The Gemara says when a non-Jew converts, you have to convene a Bezdin. So Tosfos has two opinions. One opinion of Tosfos is that you only need the bezin at the time of Kabbalas al Mitzvahs. There's no need for the bezin at the time of Tefillah and the Mikveh. The other opinion of Tosfos is not so. So that's a Sveikah Dedina. Rav Moshe has a truly says that's a Sveikah Dedina. What if there was no bezin present at the time of the Tefillah? Let's say it was very common years ago that when a woman would convert, the bezin would not go into, it's not derech eretz. The bezin wouldn't be in the room, in the Mikveh room. When the woman was tefillah in the mikveh, they would have the mikveh lady watch the way she goes under the water. So Moshe writes that that's not right, that's a sveikah d'dina, such a woman should be tefillah again a second time. Now the common practice is, even those rabbanim who years ago did not stand in the room, now they do stand in the room. The woman wears a bathrobe, and she looks in the other direction, the bezin doesn't have to see her in the front, and then the woman is tefillah under the water of the mikveh, and the bezin is present. So we're machmer on that. Even b'di'evit, if a woman was toivol l'shem geiris, not in the presence of the bezin, so Rav Moshe says she should be toivol again, b'li brocha. So that's a shaila. If we're machmer that you need a bezin for the tefillah, would we also insist that you need a bezin for the milah, if it's a man? So the bris milah also has to be done in the presence of the Bezna. Maybe tefillah is different because tefillah is the clincher. First you do milah, then you do tefillah. So when the person, when the ger does the tefillah, that's the gemara of the geris. And maybe that needs a bezin present. Maybe the milah, since it's just a haschala, maybe it doesn't need a bezin. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, he quotes from the Rambam that you need a bezin of three at the time of the milah, at the time of the tefillah, and at the time of the kabbalas al mitzvah. So l'chatchila, that is certainly the way you should go. There are many, not many, there are some moilim in the Newark area who know that they're coming to perform a milah on a non-Jewish baby, and they do not convene a bezin. That is not right. That is not right. L'chatchila, you certainly need a bezin. B'di'evit, if you didn't have a bezin, so then the poskim say, on the tefillah, we would insist on repeating the tefillah, if there wasn't a bezin present at the time of the tefillah. And on the milah, we would say that b'di'evit, it is good. So getting back again, the Pashto says that these two milas, the milah of a miknas kes, milah of yilid bais, are totally different. Yilid bais is a milah shal mitzvah, and it's shmini. And the milah of a miknas kes is a milah shal geris, and there is no din of shmini. The Pashto says by regular ger, when you're adopting a little baby, you can do the bris milah the same day that the baby is born. There's no need to wait till yom hashmini. L'chatchila we wait because there are poskim who say the Marsho and the Chassam Sofer and the Bnei Yisoscha, they say that it's not good. But b'di'evit, if they did the Mila on a baby before the Yom HaShmini, and it's the Mila Shel Geris, we wouldn't require that they should do it over again. The Pashto says, like the Rova poskim, that it doesn't require a Yom HaShmini. There is a contradiction between different Gemaras. The Maharsho points out this contradiction on Yevamos. And the Minchas Chinuch, HaMitzvah Smila, has a long section where he discusses this, whether women are mechuyev in Milas Ebed Kenayni or not. Women are not mechuyev in Milas Abayin. What's the story with Milas Ebed Kenayni? Are women mechuyev to be Mala Ebed Kenayni? So the Minchas Chinuch quotes the Hafloe on Kiddushin that Hasvar Nosen is to distinguish between Yilid Bayis and Miknas Kesef. Yilid bayis, the baby who's born to a mother who's already a shivcha k'nayin, is the baby is already an evik k'nayin, is Jewish, to the extent of kedusha is evik k'nayin. So the milah is a milah shal mitzvah, and needs shmini, and it's derech Shabbos, the Rambam says. So milah shal mitzvah, the women are potter from. But the milah of a miknas kesef, that's a milah shal geirus, so that the women should be chayvin. That's not a milah of mitzvah's milah. That's a milah of geirus, so that the women are mechuyevin. So that she thought that was a very strong svar. To distinguish between milas yilid bais and milas miknas kesef, that women should be mechuyev in the milah of the eved kenayni who's a miknas kesef, because that's a milah shel geiris.
That's not a mitzvah. To be megayer.
Could be. It is a mitzvah, but it's a different mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to be megayer. There is a mitzvah to be megayer. The Gemara says when a ger comes with his gayer, so first you try to slow him down, calm down, don't be in such a rush to convert. And if he keeps on insisting and you see that he really means it, b'shem shamayim, then the Gemara says, shuhuyi mitzvah loy mashinun. You should be megayer him as soon as possible. So you see from the Gemara in Yevamos that it is a mitzvah, and shuhuyi mitzvah loy mashinun. You shouldn't postpone. It is a mitzvah to be megayer, but it's a different mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah of milah, the mitzvah of geirus. Yeah, milah is an unusual mitzvah in the sense that it creates a chalais. The din is that the oral is not permitted to eat korban pesach, and that's the pasuk in Chumash. The oral is not allowed to eat truma, the Mishnah. The oral is not allowed to be makbir korbanos. Kohen oral, that's the pasuk in Yecheskel. There's a shaila whether kohen oral is permitted to duchen or not. So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Achrayim and says yes, the kohen oral may duchen. Rav Moshe has a whole tshuva. He's not so convinced that those Achrayim are right. It gives this whole argument that an oral has an incomplete Kedushas Yisrael, and the Mele the Kedushas Kuna is incomplete, so he has an incomplete Kedushas Kuna. So just like he can't be Makar of Karbonis and the Beis HaMikdash, maybe he can't Duchen either. He thinks that you shouldn't permit the Kohen oral to Duchen and Beis HaMikdash. So it's clear that performing a Bris Milah is different from the other mitzvah. Let's say a person shakes a lulav, so it makes a Chalois and a Gavra. He did a mitzvah. Before he didn't do the mitzvah, now he did the mitzvah. No, but by milah, it leaves a chalois in the person. So that's the Gemara has on the last daf in Perek HaBlez in the milah. The Gemara quotes a braisa that two brachas are recited when you perform the bris milah. three brachas. First, the Gemara says the bracha al Amila, and then Aviyah Ben says the bracha lachnitsa b'bishra shel Avraham Avinu, and then you say the bracha after the bris is all of Shekidish Yedid Mebeten, and so on. So the Tosis read there on the last daf in Perek HaBlezen raises the question, where do you have another mitzvah where you say two birchas ha-mitzvah? Asher kedushonu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu al Amila, Asher kedushonu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu lachnitsa b'bishra shel Avraham Avinu. What is that all about? It's the only mitzvah where you say two brachas. So the Aruch HaShulchan, Tosis Rid gives us a funny answer. The Aruch HaShulchan has a whole essay about this. He thinks that there are two distinct mitzvahs. Al Amila is a mitzvah that's fulfilled by performing the surgery. In Lachnis B'lisha Shalavam Avina means you're completing the Kedushas Yisrael of the child, and this Mila is going to be the first step in the religious life of the child. In what way are they different? So you have to have an afkemina, otherwise you're making just splitting hairs over here. So he says, no, the Gemara in Sanhedrin points out that B'nai Keturah were Chayiv and Mila. So there's Machlekes Rashi and the Rambam on that. What does it mean? So the Rashi learns Avraham Avinu was Mukhiv to be Mal, the eight sons that he had from Keturah. Even though they were not Jewish, he was told to be Yitzchak and Kor L'Chazera. Only Yitzchak is going to carry over the Kedushas Yisrael. The B'nai Keturah are not going to be Jewish. But none, and the Rambam holds the B'nai Keturah even B'zman Hazeh, even throughout all the generations, they're Chayiv and Mitzvos Mila. So they're certainly not Jewish. So you see, sometimes you have a bris mila, whether according to Rambam or according to Rashi, it doesn't make a difference. The B'nai Keturah, you have a mitzvah mila, is just to perform that surgical act of doing the bris mila, of doing the mila, and it's not a krisis bris. It's not a bris mila. It's not a bris. It's a mitzvah mila. They're not bris. They're not Jewish. It's not the beginning of their life as a Jew. As opposed to a child who is Jewish, you have not only a mitzvah mila, lama l'sabein, ala mila, you have a mitzvah lachnisa b'bisho shel Avraham Avinu. So since you can have one without the other, so that indicates that they're two distinct mitzvahs, and that's why we recite two different brachas. That's an interesting idea. The shaila is, when do you recite the bracha lachnisa b'bisho shel Avraham Avinu? The bracha ala mila is recited by the moel immediately prior to doing the act of mila. Oyvel asiyasim, I believe right before. Oyvel asiyasim right before. What about the bracha lachnisa b'bisho shel Avraham Avinu? So Taisus Himsochim on that daf, and Av Zainam Abeis, has a machlokes, the Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam, the two brothers, whether this bracha should be recited Oyvel Asiyasam or Lachar Asiyasam. Dafke after the Bris Mila is done. Why is Dafke after the Bris Mila is done? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, not like the Aruch HaShulchan. He used to pose that question, why do you say two different brachas on one mitzvah? That's the Taisus Ritz question. Is to say that Mila is different from all the other mitzvahs. When you wear tzitzis, when you shake a lulav, when you sit in sukkah, it doesn't have any effect on the God. I mean, it becomes more of a Yirei Shamayim, but it doesn't give him a different Chal Hashem. When you perform a bris mila on a baby, the baby is now allowed to eat Korban Pesach. He's allowed to eat Korbanos. He's allowed to be makor Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Before he's an oral, and now he's a mohel. So Rasul Leitchik thought that the second bracha, Lachnim Pesach Shal Avraham Avinu, is a bracha on the chalois. So that's why he thought that the Rishonim who insist that it should be dafke be recited Lachar Asiyos. Tosis has such a discussion also, the same Tosis had discussion, the Birchas Erisin that you recite, Asher Kedushanu B'Sosu V'Tzivanu Al Ha'Royos, should that be recited Oyvel Asiyosam prior to the Chosin giving the ring, or dafke Lachar Asiyos? So that's a shayla. The Rambam and the Rebbe had such a machlokes, and Tosis has the shayla. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that these are similar, that the bracha of Birchas Erisin is really a bracha. Many Rishonim, Tosis, and the Rosh hold that there is no mitzvah to get married. Getting married is just a hechsher mitzvah to fulfill the mitzvah of having children. The Rambam holds it to two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah is lisa isha b'ksuba v'kiddushin, and another mitzvah is lifras for livras. But other Rishonim, the Rosh and the Tosis hold that getting married is only hechsher mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah per se. Hechsher mitzvah usually, you don't recite brachas. Manishtana over here, how come there is a birchas eris in bechlal? So the answer is, Tosis sounds like they're saying, it's a bracha, it's a birchas shevach v'hoido. It's not really birchas ha-mitzvah. What does it mean? It's a bracha on the chalois. The fact is that when you mekadosh an isha, ishus is chal, kiddushin is chal. So whenever he thought that was pshat in Tosis, whenever you recite a bracha on a chalois, There's a bracha on the chalois that the child is a mohul instead of being an oral. The bicha service and there's a bracha on the chalois. So he thought that that's what Tosfos is driving at. That such a bracha should be recited lachar al siyosim after the chalois took effect. Shouldn't be recited over al siyosim is when the bracha is recited in connection with the maisa hamitzvah. But when the bracha is over the fact that you have a chalois, that you should wait till you actually have the chalois.
Why aren't there two brachas on tefillah?
On tefillah in a mikveh.
Used to be tamei, now he's a tohar.
I don't know. Maybe the bracha is only on the chalois. Maybe the bracha is not on him. Maybe there is no mitzvah.
So we should make it lachar. Yeah. That should be another reason why Tosa says lachar.
Could be. Okay.
Tosa Simsachim says a different reason.
Okay. That's the question. When a woman goes to mikveh, does she say the bracha before she's tevel or after she's tevel? So the two opinions in Tosfos. So maybe that's a good reason why the bracha should be recited dafke lachar asiyos after she's tayv.
Is it a bracha
on this one,
or is it
a bracha shavu hoydah? Which one? Tosfos sounds like they say it's a bracha shavu hoydah. Even if you say she kedushana b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not sufficient proof. Just because you say kedushana b'mitzvanu doesn't necessarily prove that it's a bracha samitz. Could be it's only a bicha shevach v'hoidah.
Shevach
v'hoidah is usually bedavka lachar asiyosim. Usually bedavka lachar. I know that I'm going to hear thunder. Someone calls me up on the phone from a few miles away to tell me, in another second you're going to hear the thunder that I heard. So I don't say the bracha evel asiyosim. You're going to see the lightning that I saw, whatever. So, or the pilot tells us that turn to the left and you're going to see the Swiss Alps. So you say a bracha over the beautiful mountains, over the beautiful ocean, and so on. So you say the bracha dafka lachar asiyos. All shevach v'hoidah is always recited lachar asiyos. Only bichas hanen and bichas hamitzvah are recited in advance.
Why is the bracha on shechita said beforehand?
That's also a question. The bracha on shechita should also really be a bracha on the chalois. I don't know. You have to check through all the cases. You have to check over all the cases, yeah. Some have the, by some sfarim, they have the practice that they say the bracha lachnisa b'yisra shalvam avinu oiva lasi osam before everything, before they put the baby on kisa shel Eliyahu. That's how the Sfarna writes on Chumash. That putting the baby on the kisa shel Eliyahu, that's the hachanasa libris. You're showing that you want to give away the baby to a life of religious observance. So they say lachnisa b'yisra shalvam avinu before they put the baby on kisa shel Eliyahu, which is way before the moel is doing the bris milah. Yeah. That doesn't seem to be what Tosfos has the two opinions. Tosfos has two opinions. One opinion of Tosfos should be Oivel Asiyosim means immediately before performing the bris, not immediately before putting him on Kisa Shel Eliyahu. The Rosh made a compromise. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. This Machlekes, the Rashbam, the Rabbi Natam, where the Lachnis Bishul Shel Avraham Avinu recited Oivel Asiyosim, Malach Al Asiyosim. So the Rosh made a compromise. The question is, did he accomplish anything by this? He says they always do the milah and then they do the priya later. So mavalah paro kila loy mol. It doesn't count. So if you say the bracha lachnisa in between the milah and the priya, so it's oivel asiyosam and it's lachar asiyosam. So you satisfy both opinions. That's a question. Maybe you satisfy neither opinion. Maybe l'choladeis he did wrong. But that was the minik for so many centuries. Now the question is, most of the moilim do not do the milah and the priya separately. Most of them, when they do the milah, they just did the priya together with the milah and one cut. They're cutting off both or horla or rapia together. The only ones who still do it the other way are the Hungarians. And over here in Broyas, because the Moel and Broyas learned from the Hungarians how to do the bris milah. See, he does it, he learned by Hanani Cohen. So he still does it the old way. But in most Britain, where they do milah, priya bevasachas, so you have to decide. You don't have the Rosh's compromise anymore. So Shulchan Aruch doesn't guide you what you're supposed to do. So, nu shayla, what do you do, Mizmanazah? How do you paskin? What do you do? So they always do the lachar asiyosim. The Moel always says, after I finish the first bracha, you say the second bracha. After he finishes his bracha, it's all over already. His mom is lachar asiyosim. So the minig ha'olam now is that everybody does lachar asiyosim. Someone should look into it to see is that the correct way to paskin or not.
Shouldn't the Moel say the lachniso also because he's doing the maisa mitzvah according to the approach? Usually the father says the lachniso. It's in the maisa mitzvah, so the further. The Moel always does
the Mila and the Priya. He always does everything.
Should he say the Bracha Lachniso also?
No, I think the Gemara says Avi Aben says Lach Nisa. No. The Zohar has a famous comment that here the din is that you're not supposed to perform the Bismillah Tili Yom HaShmini, and by bringing a Karbanis, the Pasuk says, Shorakes Reis Ki Yivoli, Hoyashivas Yom Tachasim, Yom HaShmini Vaholi, Yiratza the Karban Isha Lashem. You don't bring a Karban until it's 8 days old. So the Zohar sees a connection between the two. And by Karbanis, the Iker is, he does Zrika Saddam, the Dalar Avodah Saddam, Shchita Kabbalah HaLoch HaZrika, the Dalar Avodah Saddam. And here, you're also spilling blood. So the Zohar understands that performing a Bris Milah is a form of a Karban. And the reason why you need 8 days before you can be Makar of a Karban, the reason why you need 8 days before you can do the Bris Milah is because in the course of 8 days, you will certainly experience a Friday night. And the baby or the behemoth experiencing the Friday night is what makes it royal, the carbon was what makes it royal, the bris milah. That's why the Torah made a law, plug deraisa. You should always wait till the eighth day so that you know for sure you will have experienced the Friday night. If the carbon with the behemoth was born on a Shabbos in the daytime, or the baby was born Shabbos in the daytime, so you have to wait till the eighth day that it should experience a Friday night. If the baby's born any other day, you really shouldn't have needed 8 days. So the Zohar says it's a law, plug deraisa. That's why many assume that the we have a minig that's recorded in the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama in Perek Achevel, I think, that you have a Shalom Zohar on Friday night before the Bris Milah. Some of the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch say the reason for the Shalom Zohar is because it's the experience, the baby's experiencing Friday night is what it makes the baby roy the Bris Milah. So that's a step. So that's a step in leading towards. The baby was born on Wednesday, so Wednesday night, Thursday night doesn't affect any change. Friday night is what the experiencing of Friday night, the b'china of Friday night, is what makes the behema royal hakrava, and what makes the baby royal is Rika Saddam. Then in Shulchan Aruch it says, Abi Aben should stand next to the moil and instruct him that he's appointing him as his shliach. So the Vilna Gaon writes, he doesn't think that's the real reason. He thinks the real reason is based on the Zohar. He can call a moel in advance and tell him, I want you to be my shliach. Well, you have to stand there. When you appoint the shliach, you have to stand next to the shaliach. So what do you need the shliach for? You make your shliach to be Mekadosh Anisha. If you're going along, you're going to stand next to him and say, I want you to be my shliach. So you could have done it yourself. Here, I don't know how to do the Bris Milah. But if I called up the moel when the baby was born, I told him, I want you to do the Bris Milah. So he already knows he's the shliach. So the Vilna Gaon writes on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't think that's the reason why. He thinks it's based on the Mishnah in Tainus, where the Mishnah says, Hech Kabanu Shalom Karev, Beino Emer Al Gabov. There's a din you have to be standing there when the Kohen is Makar of the Karban. So he says the Avi Aben is like the Bala Karban over here, and the Bris Milah is like a Karban. So the Bala Karban should stand next to the one who's doing the Avoid on the Karban. That's why in Shulchan Aruch they quote again from the Zohar that the standing holds the baby on his lap when they perform the Bris Milah, so the lap of the Sandik is compared to a Mizbech. It's considered a big inyan to serve as the Sandik by a Bris Milah. The Gemara says in the beginning of Perek HaBlez in the Milah, Daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, that historically, a mitzvah shekibla aleihem yisol b'simcha. If the mitzvah was accepted by the Jewish people with rejoicing, zadayim mekayimim moisa b'simcha. Mitzvah that when it was first given to the Jewish people, they were belly aching, they were complaining. So it's always going to be with trouble. So the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Milo, Avraham Avinu accepted with great simcha. Zadayim mekayimim moisa b'simcha. We always make a party when we have a bris milah. We make a party. And that's a suda shel mitzvah, that's a suda shel simcha. That's why many poskim hold you have to have davke fleshiks by a suda shel bris milah, or at least you have to have yayin. Even if you don't want to have fleshiks, you have to have yayin. The Magen Avraham in Hilchas Erev Shabbos comments on the Gemara in Gittin that it's not right to eat fleshiks on Erev Shabbos. Some yeshivas in Eretz, they always have fleshiks on Erev Shabbos for lunch. So the Magen Avraham says it's against Allah. In Allah, have a suda chashuva. And Erev Shabbos and the airlines, a lot of times, if you're traveling on an airline on a Friday, so a lot of times they'll give you the kosher meal. There's going to be a fleshig meal. So it's not right. You're not supposed to eat the fleshigs on Friday. So the shaila is, what if there was a bris on Friday morning? Is it proper that they should give fleshigs? And Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalom that he had two rabbeim. So when they used to have a bris on Friday morning, And the Yef Leishik, so one Rebbe would attend, the other Rebbe would only attend the Bris, and he wouldn't attend the Suda. And the Machloikis was, that's what the Machzah Shekel explains. And the Magen Avraham is a little unclear. The Machzah Shekel explains on the bottom of the page, if the Halacha requires Midina, he's supposed to have Leishik, so then you have